Christian ministries are sending money and other forms of aid to Israel as that nation copes with the horror inflicted by Hamas on October 7th, as they should. Hi, I'm Rob West. You may be among those who've given to Israel in this time of need, but did you know there's another very effective way to help Israel? And it's probably something you haven't thought of. Brian Mumbert joins us today to talk about it. And it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, we're delighted to welcome Brian Mumbert to the program for the first time. Brian is Vice President for Regional Sales at Timothy Plan, a brand new underwriter of this program. And Brian, it's great to have you with us.
Rob, it's outstanding to be here with you, and we're very happy to be partnering with FaithFi.
Well, thank you, and we're incredibly grateful as well. You know, we want to talk about a completely different way that some folks are supporting Israel, and that's by investing in it. So tell us about Timothy Plan's Israel Common Values Fund.
Sure thing. So this was set forward by Art Alley, our president and founder here at Timothy Plan, and his original intent and thought of this was to find a way to support Israel. And this was back in 2008, and so way before this present war that is occurring here. In starting the fund, what was really neat was we actually took a trip over to Israel. I was privileged enough to get to go. It was my first time there. I highly recommend everyone do that, by the way. But in the trip over there, aside from just seeing all the holy sites, we were able to visit with some of the companies that would be in the portfolio for the mutual fund. So it was a really captivating start to everything. We brought along some of the initial shareholders of the fund that wanted to invest, as well as some of the advisors that had worked with Timothy Plan for a long time as well. So it was a great beginning.
That's really exciting. So give us an example maybe of some of the kinds of companies that are in the Israel Common Values Fund.
Yeah, this part is really cool. So I was over there, and we were visited by the founder of Mobileye. He was the inventor that started the company back in 1999 and spent some time with all of us to talk about this technology that is in almost every one of our vehicles if we buy a new vehicle nowadays. And so they're working with about 30 different vehicle manufacturers now, but it's more than just what you would think of like autonomous driving. It's lane change warnings and front collision warnings and things like that that's in every car that helps me to drive safer. So that was really cool. Another interesting company that we met over there was CyberArk, and they do a lot of archiving of the internet as well as keeping your records safe. You kind of think of it like a digital safe on the internet. So
that's great.
A lot of neat technology over there. And then finally, you can see a lot of renewable energy companies over there, which is interesting. And from being over there and seeing it in person, I was looking at all the houses. They all had a solar panel on top that was powering their water heaters. And so it's just a way for them to make use of the limited space that they have while also using different forms of energy. So it was a really neat to see, a couple companies like this and meet the people that were involved in making the product.
Oh, that's really exciting. Now, how can investing in Israeli companies actually aid that country, Brian?
Well, just like in the United States, you're providing capital for these companies. You're also investing in some of the R&D that they do and helping them to develop new products that ultimately end up in companies that we know here in America, like Apple and Google. And you're also able to really just help this developed economy get an infusion of cash. Unfortunately, Israel being a developed economy is not included in broad international funds any longer because it's so focused on Europe and Japan, and the little country like Israel gets left out.
Yes, interesting.
So really, it's a way for investors to support Israel, and you might think that it would be challenging for returns here. And yes, there is increased risk with investing in just a single country. But the opportunity over there is great. You have a country that treasures minimal debt. And so they really take good care, unlike us in the U.S., in not taking on debt, as well as all the technology they bring to the table.
That's really exciting. Well, folks, if you want to learn more, just simply visit timothyplan.com. That's timothyplan.com. Brian, thanks for stopping by, my friend.
Thank you, Rob. Happy to be here.
That's Brian Mumbert, Vice President for Regional Sales at the Timothy Plan, a pioneer and leader in the faith-based investing movement. Again, that fund is the Israel Common Values Fund. Back with your questions just after this. Stick around.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Every culture has many things in common, because as human beings, we have the same basic needs: food, shelter, clothing. But there's something else virtually every culture has that is in some ways totally unnecessary for daily life. What is it? Music. Music brings people together. It stirs our emotions. And remarkably, we have a singing God. Zephaniah 3 tells us, "The Lord your God is with you. He will rejoice over you with singing." It's a beautiful song. It unites believers from all nations, a song of salvation that we have in Christ Jesus. So today, sing that song back to Him. Grow in your walk with Christ with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
Because of my past health history, finding affordable health care was nearly impossible. But then I found CHM, where costs are not adjusted based on medical history. Christian Healthcare Ministries even provides the freedom to choose my own providers. And the best part? CHM members pray for me. Too good to be true? It's not. I'm a proud member of Christian Healthcare Ministries, and if you think it could be right for you, learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
This week on Truth for Life, Alistair Begg looks at how and why Christians are transformed. Then he warns us against behaviors that could give the devil a foothold or grieve the Holy Spirit. Learn how your lifestyle should reflect your new identity in Christ. This week on Truth for Life with Alistair Begg.
Truth for Life, weekday mornings at 11:30 Central on AFR and online at afr.net.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
So glad to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here at American Family Radio. What a treat to have Brian Mumbert here, my good friend from Timothy Plan. Folks, the faith-based investing space is really gaining some traction. So exciting to see all of the new products and fund families coming out. I looked the other day, and a study by my good friend Tim McCready at Brightlight said that in the last 3 years alone, 55 new faith-based investing products have hit the market. You know, that tells me that this whole area is just maturing rapidly, and as believers in particular discover the opportunity to have their values aligned with their deployment of capital, i.e. investing, they choose that. Given that choice, they certainly want their values appropriately aligned with their investments, either by avoiding companies where they're misaligned with their values or by embracing companies. And today's discussion about the Israel Common Values Fund is a great example of that, by embracing companies that are intentionally aligned with their values, where there's still clearly value for shareholders, where you're not giving up any performance. It's just a really exciting space. And we're going to continue continue to shine a light on it. And we're even working on some ways that you can get more access to content to understand both the biblical basis and the investing case for faith-based investing, where you can see more clearly all of the faith-based investing funds. A lot coming this year from FaithFi to help you explore this area, but we'll continue to have interviews like we did with Brian today as well. So, all right, let's turn the corner and take your questions on anything financial today. We'd love to tackle whatever you're thinking about. The number to call today, 800-525-7000. I've got, it looks like, three lines open, so you could get right through at 800-525-7000. You can call right now. All right, let's dive in today. We're going to begin in Ohio. And Linda, I know you were trying to get on yesterday, right at the end of the show. I'm so glad you called back. How can I help?
Yes, thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is about my mother's estate, quote unquote. There is a will. It was set up to avoid probate. As I believe I'm going to be the executor, how much financial responsibility should I be preparing for? And how much should I be relying on the attorney who set up the will?
Talk to me about avoiding probate, because normally, although every estate doesn't have to go through the probate process, normally it would all run through the probate court. And so that's the legal procedure that deals with the estate of a deceased person. So it starts with the executor. In this case, that's you, named in the will. And then, you know, as long as the court is involved, they would validate the will, appoint the executor, which you're named there, provide them with the legal power to distribute the assets and settle any remaining liabilities and, you know, funeral expenses, medical debts, other debts, things like that. It's not free. You know, you have court fees and potentially attorney fees and expenses for filing notices, and then the probate court judge overseeing the process. But normally that would be the process by which, you know, you would handle this at death. Tell me, though, what you're thinking about in terms of avoiding probate.
Well, it was just a phrase that has been put out there from the get-go, basically, that really her only asset was the condo that she and I were on the mortgage, and I was on the deed as well. That sold on October 31st. Besides some dishes and jewelry, that's really all she has. And so that phrase was kind of, we've all been presuming since 2015 that was just one of the.
Yeah, and that's helpful. You know, small estates often don't require the full probate process. So they typically encompass just filing a petition with the court. And the value limit for what's considering a small estate will vary by state. So obviously you're in the state of Ohio, you know, you would have to talk to that attorney about just the fact that, you know, what is that value? You know, in some states it would be, you know, if it's valued under $20,000, for instance, then it doesn't require a full probate process. It could go through the expedited process where essentially you would just petition the court and then you could, you know, very quickly settle the estate. So I would always just circle back with that attorney. I'm not an attorney, and so it's always good to get legal counsel here. But I think what you're probably describing is just the fact that this is a very minimal estate. There's just very little here. You've got a will in place, and so it should be pretty cut and dry. But I would go back to that attorney and just ask for the step so you're prepared to know what you're dealing with when that time comes.
Sounds great. Thank you so much. I so appreciate your channel and what you're doing under God's care. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Linda. That's very kind of you. God bless you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We'd love to hear from you today with your financial questions on any topic. Let's see, to Ohio, Crystal. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, honey. I was calling to ask, we are one of the families that basically live from paycheck to paycheck. And I have 8 grandchildren to great-grandchildren. Yeah. I spend approximately $100 to $150 per child for Christmas, and for their birthdays. I mean, for a piece, you know. So, and they're all, thank God, that boys all have good jobs and they're all well taken care of. The grandchildren are so spoiled that there's not a toy that you can actually buy them that they don't have, maybe even two of. So how can I make that money work for them?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I tried, I didn't know that they wasn't doing savings bonds anymore. And so I tried to check into some things so if you could help me out there.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Crystal, you're obviously a generous grandmother wanting to be wise about how you bless your grandkids. Are they, what are their ages? I mean, what are the, what's the range there?
From 13 to 1 year old.
Okay. And are you wanting to just set this money aside for them and just let them know that it's there? You know, because obviously with, especially with the smaller ones, you know, they want to get something that they can open and be excited about. And so how are you communicating with their parents and with them about your desire to bless them on an annual basis for birthdays and Christmas, but also do it in a way that, you know, has something that they can benefit from down the road? You mentioned savings bonds. There are still savings bonds. You just have to do them electronically, although I wouldn't recommend that just because there's a very minimal return. You can do better elsewhere. But how are you navigating that with the kids in terms of this being their Christmas and their birthday present?
Well, Nana's one of the very blunt Nanas, and I'm not going to give you that money to just burn up.
Okay.
You know, I want it to go for something. I don't do the video game thing.
Yeah.
So I refuse to buy videos. I don't like them to buy video games.
Sure, sure.
So,
yeah.
You know, I would, you know, savings, a certain savings account, maybe I could put in it that it might draw something back. And when they turn 21, 25, you know, maybe it could buy a tire for their car or something.
Yeah, I like it. All right, let's do this. I've got to take a quick break, Crystal. That was really helpful. And I agree with you. I mean, why give them something, you know, a toy that they've already got more than they can even use necessarily when, you know, next year they'll forget they had it? You want to give them something of lasting value, and I can certainly appreciate that. I'll give you some ideas just around the corner. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Stick around.
So for God to speak is for God to engage in self-revelation. We only know God because God has condescended to speak to us.
The God Who Speaks is a 90-minute documentary that answers many of the common objections about the Bible's reliability. The film equips believers to confidently base their lives on the power of God's Word. It's available at streaming.afa.net.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
American Family Studios was started back in 2011 as a way to advance the Christian worldview into an increasingly media-rich culture.
Media is like such a powerful tool to communicate the gospel. I love writing stories, getting in my office, and just thinking, how can we portray this concept of who God's character is? And to get to use the gifts that God has given me is really a joy.
AmericanFamilyStudios.net.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
My wife's aunt passed away, and we received a considerable inheritance from that. We talked to the people at AFA Foundation, and they were very caring. What excites us about the charitable gift annuity is we will always have income coming in. It will be steady. We won't outlive it.
See if a charitable gift annuity is right for you. Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here at American Family Radio. Coming up in our final segment today, Jerry Boyer will stop by. Jerry's got some exciting updates related to the shareholder engagement work he's been doing on behalf of the American Family Association, a major victory in that regard. And Jerry will tell us about it a little later in the broadcast today. We've got some lines open, 800-525-7000. Before the break, we were talking to Crystal in Ohio. She's a wonderful grandmother. She's got seven grandchildren, two great-grandchildren. She puts about $150 a month or $150 a year into what would be their birthday and Christmas gifts to bless them. They're living paycheck to paycheck, living modestly, but this is a priority for her. And she's wanting to make sure that the money she's giving them, and the grandchildren obviously span, you know, ages from one all the way up to 13, she's wanting to do it in a way that allows them to have something meaningful down the road when they need it to, you know, help them with expenses that they have. She mentioned buying a tire for a car, or being able to use it to some spending money when they go off to college, something like that, rather than buying a toy, which she says they've got plenty of. They don't go without. Their parents make sure they're well stocked. And so, you know, Crystal, there's a couple of options there with regard to how you might do that. First of all, I would do it, whatever you do, I would do it in your name, or the name of you and your husband, because if you put it in a custodial account, it automatically becomes the child's asset at the age of 18. So if any of them, when they reach age 18, are not spiritually or financially mature enough to handle it, they're going to get the money. So they could use it to go out and buy a sports car if they wanted to. And so one way to avoid that would be to set up separate accounts for each child, but do it in your name, and then you control the time, you know, and the place that it actually gets transferred to them at some point in the future. Would you agree with that? Does that sound like what you're looking for?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
It is.
Okay, great. So then we just need to decide how you want to allow it to work for you. You mentioned savings bonds. You can still get them. You have to buy them electronically now at treasurydirect.gov, but the returns are not great. So option one, which would be the most conservative right now and offer the backing of the U.S. government through the FDIC insurance, would just be a high-yield savings account. And, you know, right now you can get a fairly attractive rate on high yield savings. I think the very best rates right now are about 4.6%. You could find some as high as 5. Again, FDIC insured, so you don't have to worry about it. And you just open a separate savings account for each of the grandchildren at one of these online banks. And you could go to bankrate.com to find who has the very best rates right now. Again, they'd all be FDIC insured. And then you just make a systematic deposit. Maybe you do 1/12 of 150 every month. So that's one approach. The second approach would be where you actually invest the money in stocks. And I've got two ideas there. One idea is maybe you pick one of the faith-based investing mutual funds and you just buy, you know, a few more shares of that fund, like what we talked about today with Timothy Plan. The Israel Common Values Fund would be a great example. You could buy them, you know, a few shares every month, or put a systematic contribution in, and then it would be invested and it could grow. The other option is you could buy a company that they're interested in. Now, obviously, this doesn't work for the one-year-old necessarily, but for the ones that are a little bit older, you could buy fractional shares of a company that they know and love. You know, we could throw out any number of examples, but, you know, and then you give them the shares of those stocks. They're interested in them. They can follow them, and it would kind of introduce them to the idea of investing. And if you wanted to do that, You'd probably use, you know, something like Stash or Robinhood, one of those that allows you to buy a fractional share, which just means you have the ability to buy less than even one share. You could buy a half a share or a quarter of a share, something like that, which sounds like it'd be the best idea for you.
I was, you know, maybe both, because I do spend, if the 150 at Christmas form, then an average of 100 to 150 on their birthdays as well for each child.
Yeah.
I was more interested in stocks.
Okay.
But I was also told that you had to use a certain amount, like it had to be $500 or more.
Yeah, a lot of them do have a minimum with regard to a mutual fund, but if you buy fractional shares with, let's say, Stash or Robinhood, both of those have smartphone apps, you could pretty much start with as little as you want.
Okay, great.
Yeah. So I would check those out. Any of the faith-based investing funds on our website at faithfi.com, just click on the show. You'll see Timothy Plan. You'll see Eventide. You'll see Guidestone and One Ascent and a host of others. Any of those would be great. Or if you wanted to buy a particular company that maybe the child had an affinity to, that's where I'd probably look at Robinhood or Stash and buy a fractional share. But Crystal, I think you're on to something here, and you sound like a wonderful grandmother, and we appreciate you being on the program today. May the Lord bless you. Let's go quickly to, Louisiana. Hi, Michael. How can we help?
Hi, Robin. How are you doing?
Great. Thanks.
Great. Why don't you give me some vehicles I can use to save for a down payment for a house maybe in 2 years from now. I'm already saving. I have an online savings account investing in the market already.
Okay. Yeah, I would just set up a separate savings account at that online bank, and hopefully you're getting 4.5%+ on it, just earmarked specifically for that house down payment. And one of the great things about the online banks or for the savings is usually, and I would choose one that this is the case, they don't offer any minimums and there's no fees. So you can have multiple savings accounts if you want. Now, you could separate it out with just using one account in the FaithFi app and have it in different envelopes. But if you wanted actually separate savings accounts and one just for this house down payment, you can do that. So I just open another savings account at wherever you're currently at and then just set up an automatic transfer right out of your checking account. Build it into your budget, however much you can afford. And then it just, whenever you get paid, it just automatically transfers right out into that savings account, you know, out of your checking. And then every month it's just automatically building it up. And then, you know, 2 to 3 years down the road, hopefully, you know, you're right where you need to be to have at least 20% for that down payment and still have your fully funded emergency fund. So, you know, that automatic transfer is just the best way because then you don't even have to think about it, build it into your plan, and you're just doing it every paycheck. Michael, thanks for your call today. Joan, Bonnie, coming your way just after the break. This is Faith and Finance. We'll be right back.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly 3 decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
If you think about family devotions, you might get fearful, but don't worry. On the next Focus on the Family, you'll hear practical help and encouragement to simply gather at dinner time and have a dialogue with your kids about spiritual matters. Jonathan and Kanika Evans share about their family experience next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing and the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Absolutely free.
We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
What does the American Family Association stand for? We believe that our ministry, as well as everything in the heavens and on earth, belongs to God, and our role is that of a trusted manager. These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. Here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Well, the Biden administration announced today that it would soon be forgiving the student loans of borrowers who been faithfully making payments for 10 years or more and who originally borrowed $12,000 or less. To get the early forgiveness, borrowers need to be enrolled in the administration's new Saving on a Valuable Education or SAVE plan. This is going to impact about 7 million borrowers who are currently enrolled in that program, and it could come as early as next month. Of course, you know, as we look at this through the lens of Scripture, I would say establish your own conviction about whether or not you'd even take this. I would challenge that this is not the role of the executive branch to make that decision without the involvement of Congress, and we don't have the money in this country to be doing these kinds of things. This is certainly not a biblical model where it was given across the board and it was planned for in the year of Jubilee. This would be more like just a leader doing this to gain favor, in my view. But nevertheless, here we are with the Biden administration making this announcement today and essentially going it alone with regard to student loan forgiveness. More on that to come in the days ahead. All right, we've got room for a few more questions today before we round out the broadcast. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's go to Connecticut. Hi, Joan. Go right ahead.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I listen to your program every day. Question for you. I, first-time condo owner, is a four-unit community.
Okay.
Small.
Yep.
One of the units are foreclosed. And the other three units have been paying the homeowner association fees. I thought eventually the bank would sell the property.
Yes.
But it's been like 12 months. And they tried twice that I'm aware of. You see the sign on their loan, the foreclosure sign. And it didn't go through. Not sure what to do next.
Okay.
That's
yes.
My question.
Yeah, very good, Joan. Well, I'm so sorry to hear you're experiencing this. And I know, obviously, it's one thing if you're in a condominium unit with, you know, the 20, 30, 50, 100 units. It's a different thing when it's a four-unit community. Obviously, the lack of HOA fees is going to potentially impact that situation. But obviously, your concern is getting it sold because the longer it sits there, it decreases the value of everybody else. So I certainly understand that. You know, there's a couple of things that may be going on here, Joe. Number one is often when there's a foreclosure situation, somebody gets to the place where they have to be foreclosed on, the unit itself or the home is in pretty significant disrepair. And are you aware of the condition of the inside of the unit?
I did not go inside. I didn't. Maybe okay. I should.
Yeah, I mean, that probably it, you know, if it got to that place where it had to be foreclosed on, the odds are that it was not being maintained very well. In fact, it could be in pretty rough shape. And if it needs a lot of work, and I'm just speculating here, that obviously could be keeping buyers away. The second issue is that a bank has much less incentive to get it sold than a homeowner who's looking to move to another property. I mean, they want to get it sold and get it off their balance sheet, but at the same time, they're not going to put in the same effort to market it, to hire a realtor necessarily who's going to do a great job at getting it marketed and priced right and sold. So there's just less incentive there. And so, you know, oftentimes it does take longer just because, you know, maybe there's a half effort going into getting that unit sold. Obviously, you know, the idea would be that it would get sold. The good news is they have a vested interest in seeing that happens. It's just not as prominent as somebody, you know, who's needing to cash out of the property in order to make a move. So, you know, I think the next step would probably be, I mean, nothing you can do. It's, of course, out of your hands. I would be asking the HOA, company or individuals that oversee your HOA, just what are the implications of the fact that only 3 out of 4 people are paying the dues, and just make sure you understand whether that means, you know, there's going to be a shortfall and any, increases to accommodate for that are going to affect you. And then if you're just interested, you may be, you know, wanting just to check out the condition of the property, because that may give you some indication as to why it's not been selling at least these first 2 rounds. Unfortunately, there's not a whole lot else you can do with it other than maybe talk it up and see if you can find a friend or a family member who's looking for a place that might be able to get a good deal on it and move next door to you. Does that all make sense, though, Joan?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
All righty. Yeah. Thank you for calling and for listening to the program faithfully. We appreciate it. May the Lord bless you. Let's go to North Dakota. Hi, Bonnie. Go right ahead.
Hi. Thank you for having me. I just have a question for you, and I'm hoping you can help. My husband and I are both in retirement age, but not retired. We're both working full-time. I'm 68, and he is 76. And like I told the guy who talked to me before you, they want him. He's good at what he does.
Yeah.
So my question for you is, help us think through if we're ready for retirement, because I don't feel we have very much in retirement.
Yeah. It's a great question. Obviously, there's the financial readiness, and then there's the non-financial. The non-financial is just, you know, we want to retire to something and not from something. So, you know, God created us to be workers, and, you know, that's going to change over time. It may or may not include working for pay, and especially in that season of life. But, you know, I don't think God designed us to sit on the front porch. Now, there's nothing wrong with rest and leisure as long as it's in the right rhythm with being productive as God designed us. It actually has health benefits, and we get to enjoy how God has wired us, and we can be a blessing to others and create human flourishing and give glory to the Lord at the same time. So I would want you to think through, what are we retiring to, and what does God have for us in this next season? From a financial standpoint, it's really just all about how are we going to fund our lifestyle in retirement. So, you know, one of the ideas is we try to get out of debt. And so, you know, we reduce that expense, and then, you know, we live modestly and we're no longer saving for retirement. And maybe we're not eating out as much because we're at home during the day for the most part, and maybe not spending as much on clothing, which is why the average retiree might live on, let's say, 70% of their pre-retirement income. But you would want to establish that retirement budget even in advance. You could do it right now and just make some guesstimates on what that might look like. And then we're just solving for how are we going to, you know, make up that income that's necessary to fund our lifestyle. And so you'd start with Social Security, which I assume your husband's already receiving. You may or may not be. And then we'd look at what other assets we have to supplement that if that's not enough. So do you know what that amount is that you would need to have on a monthly basis in retirement?
Well, everything we have is paid for. We've paid for our house. We've paid for 2 cars that are fairly new.
Okay.
within 3 or 4 years old.
Yeah.
And as far as other expenses, of course, it's just the expenses of the house.
What do you think your total bills are on a monthly basis?
Our biggest expenses, we probably purchase our own supplements that we can't. So I would say close to $3,000.
$3,000 a month. All right, let's do this. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back on the other side, we'll finish up with this and give you an idea of what asset level you'd need to have in retirement savings to fund your income. We'll be right back.
Your attitude toward the Bible is your attitude toward Christ. In other words, if you say, I delight in the Lord, and you never open this book, you're just fooling yourself. Because where do you learn about the Lord? You learn about Him in this book, don't you?
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series, Encouraging Words for Discouraging Times, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live. 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio, I'm Rob West. Hey, just ahead, Jerry Boyer and Walker Wildman stop by to give us an update on some of the corporate engagement work they've been doing on behalf of the American Family Association. A big win to share with you today. We'll tell you that straight ahead. But first, just before the break, we were talking to Bonnie in North Dakota. She's wondering if she and her husband are on track for retirement. She is 68. He's 76. They're both still working. Her husband doesn't plan on stopping. They are excited that he's still there. He's providing a lot of value to his company. And I was sharing with Bonnie that, you know, there's the non-financial preparation for retirement. What are we retiring to? Not what are we retiring from, realizing that God created us to be productive throughout the whole of our lives, even though that will change in different seasons. But I think praying through, God, what do you have for us in this next season is an important part of the retirement discussion. But then secondly, are we prepared financially? And that's really about solving for your monthly need. Now, they live modestly. She thinks about $3,000 a month. I challenged her, let's dial into that and really do some hard work on what is that monthly budget that includes everything, even those things you don't get a bill for or that don't come every month. But let's say it is $3,000 a month. They're bringing in more than that, about $3,200 a month just in Social Security alone. And Bonnie, what's the total of your other retirement assets and your 401ks and so forth?
Mine is in an account summary at work, a Vanguard Retirement Savings Trust, $53,000, and a Vanguard Retirement for $50,000. And
okay, I'm losing you there. What would you say is the total of all of your retirement accounts? Do you know roughly? All right. I'm having trouble hearing you. But here's the reality is, you know, whatever you all have accumulated, you could run that, let's say, just as a rule of thumb at around 4%. So let's say it's, I think it was around 250,000. So that could throw off, if it's managed properly, another 10,000 a year, you know, or another $800 a month. So between your two Social Security checks and that, I mean, that would give you about 4,000 a month, with which you think might be as much as $1,000 over. So here's the next steps, I think. Number one is I'd really work through that spending plan and understand what your monthly need is. And then secondly, I'd connect with a certified Kingdom advisor to do some retirement planning, talk about how those assets would be managed in retirement, establish that relationship so that as you and your husband separate from your employers, you could roll that out to an IRA, have an advisor invest it for you, and then begin to draw an income when you need it. And you may not, because as you said, your Social Security may in fact cover everything that you need. Appreciate your call today, Bonnie. Thanks for being on the program. Well, folks, before we wrap up here today in our final segment, we want to celebrate some great progress that Jerry Boyer and Walker Wildman on behalf of the American Family Association have made in the corporate engagement space. Jerry, Walker, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Rob, glad to be on with you guys.
Hey, Rob.
Hey, Jerry.
Hey, Walker.
Good to have you both. Jerry, I'll let you kick us off. We talk about this each week. We usually touch on some of the things you're working on, and this one actually hits a little closer to home.
Yeah, because it's American Family Association, which stepped up. And, you know, I mentioned this in a piece for World News Group for World Magazine that ran this week. I really want to applaud American Family Association. Where are the other Christian ministries? Maybe that's a topic for another day, because there's a lot of Christian ministries to whom people have donated stocks and they own stocks, but AFA has stood up and used those stocks to make their voice heard. And in this particular, you know, cycle, about a week and a half ago, got the news that even though Apple, the largest corporation in the world by market cap, hired a very high-powered law firm and tried to get the proposal kicked off the ballot. The Securities and Exchange Commission came in and said, no, this belongs in front of the shareholders. So a big win for American Family Association.
Wow, that's great. And Walker, I know you're delighted to be able to make your voice heard, because cultural transformation is really at the center of all of AFA's work, right?
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, throughout our history, Rob and Jerry, we've always been in a fight, you know, over our culture and values and what society should view as right, noble, and true. And but we decided, why not carry this to the corporate boardroom, you know, because we're having these discussions everywhere else. So let's carry it to the corporate boardroom. And, you know, one thing that Jerry made a good point on in recent weeks is that there's this assumption that surely these corporations are hearing from people like us, which is the assumption out there. But that's really not necessarily the case in many circumstances. A lot of these corporate boardrooms and these executives are in echo chambers. And they just, you know, people tell them what they want to hear. And if it's more on the liberal side of things, well, that's normal. But we assume that surely there's conservatives somewhere at the table. But that's not always the case. So that's what we're trying to do, is be a seat at the table so that a lot of these folks in positions of authority can hear our vantage point, our viewpoint on how we think things should be done, which in our opinion is the right way of doing things.
Yeah, that's well said. And Jerry, I know you're working hard on behalf of AFA and a whole host of others to change that, so Christians and Christians' values are present in those meetings and in those discussions, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And Walker's right. People assume that these companies are hearing from us, but they're not. Often we're in conversations with companies where they have never heard from anyone like us. We're asking questions that they have never heard asked before. Like, for example, do you have an affinity group for Christian employees? Because if you look at all these companies, there's an affinity group for various ethnicity groups. Asian Pacific Islanders have a group, right? Obviously, there's a pride group. Always there's a pride group, but often there isn't a Christian group. And so we've been able to open that door and say to these companies, how about, can your Christians meet together as Christians at work like all these other, like the pride group can? Yeah. Well, no one asked. Well, did you offer? Well, we can't have a group for everyone. Well, this is 70% of the population. Maybe they can get a group too. So what it does is it opens up the conversation to the whole thing, where they're taking sides on a bunch of issues. So AFA came in to Apple kind of, you know, specifically on a certain kind of idea, which is, are you deplatforming apps? Right, it's focused on that. But what we find with these companies, and there's others that, you know, we've been talking to, we meaning AFA and Boyer Research, Citigroup would be one, Verizon, Bank of New York Mellon, Intel is coming up, the largest chip maker, is that we can say, listen, you've been deplatforming or taking Christian content off without a good explanation. But now when we're on the phone, let's talk about your whole corporate culture. How do you think about people of faith? Do you have a rule that says that if an employee gives a contribution to a nonprofit, you'll match it, except if it's a church? Well, a lot of them have that rule. Well, why? Don't churches count too? Isn't that discriminatory? So it really opens the door to a full relationship conversation that we think is going to go on for years.
That's great. Jerry, what will this look like? How will this play out with Apple related to this upcoming meeting and AFA?
Well, AFA has the right to have this proposal on the ballot. AFA has the right to make a speech to the board of directors and to the other shareholders. AFA has a right to have this appear on the proxy statement and go before all of the shareholders. Now, at this point, Apple is going to come forward and say something like, well, what would it take for you to take this off the proposal? What would it take for you to voluntarily withdraw it? And they'll make offers. And it might be that they make such a fundamental change that Walker and his team will say, okay, you've done enough. We don't need this to be on the ballot. So far, that has not been what's been going on. So far, they've said some nice things, they've had some nice conversations, but we haven't seen any indication that they're going to change their policy in any fundamental way.
And this is the board of directors of Apple. So we're talking about not only Tim Cook, the CEO, but Susan Wagner of BlackRock, the president of Boeing, James Bell. We're talking about the former vice president of the United States, Al Gore. I mean, this is the group of people that they would be discussing this in front of, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And the CEO of Boeing might have other things on his mind right now with pieces falling off of the jets. Maybe he'll miss that meeting. I'm sorry, I don't mean to make light of that. But yes, these are power players, and there's been press about it, and there will likely continue to be press about it. Alliance Defending Freedom has helped a lot with the legal side of this, and so they'll be magnifying it. So yes. You know, AFA is going to be able to speak to the ruling elite of corporate America, and they have to sit there and listen, and they don't get to edit it. They're going to hear things about religious freedom that maybe no one's ever said to them before. Mm. But, you know, they need to hear it. It's long past due.
Yeah. Walker, put a bow on this. We've got about a minute left. What makes you so excited about this opportunity for AFA?
Well, you know, we're not only getting to speak on behalf of AFA and Jerry's team, but we're also getting to speak on behalf of all of our donors out there. You know, we've got hundreds of thousands of supporters. Many of them probably have Apple devices, or maybe even they have shares in Apple stock. We're getting to be a voice for them. So this is more than just about AFA or Jerry or myself. We're really making this about Christians all around the country. And being their voice to a mega corporation like Apple.
Well done, gentlemen. Jerry Walker, thanks for stopping by today.
All right. Thanks, brother.
Thank you.
All right. That's Jerry Boyer of Boyer Research. He's our resident economist here at Faith and Finance at American Family Radio. And Walker Wildman, vice president. By the way, speaking of Walker and the AFA team, check out AFAretreat.net and join us for the American Family Association retreat at the Inn at Purcell Farms. Great speakers, great food, a time to pull away with the Lord and be challenged. There's only a few rooms left, so visit AFAretreat.net and secure your spot today. That's AFAretreat.net. Folks, thanks for being along with us. On behalf of my team today, Jim Henry, Devin Patrick, and Robert Youngblood, I'm Rob West. It's been a delight to be along with you today. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week. Come back and join us, and we'll do it all over again. In the meantime, may God your ultimate treasure, money a tool, and go out and live for Jesus. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.